Hi, guys. Welcome back to Mostly Balanced with Mia and Carly.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. We have lots of fun listener questions, very relatable topics today.
Before we get into it, I feel like I don't really have much new to talk about. I've been trying a new filtered shower head. You guys know how much love Patchouli. If you've been here for a while, I could talk about it for 20 minutes. But I've been trying the Canopy, which, do you have a Canopy humidifier?
No, I don't have a humidifier.
The brand is very aesthetically pleasing. I feel like I never thought of getting a humidifier until I saw this brand last year. It was like last winter, because I feel like winter is when you usually need a humidifier. The air is very dry. They just have good marketing. Like, their marketing strategy is all about how, like, the humidifier will help your skin and your hair. Like, it's all about how the environment around you affects your skin and your hair. So I guess it's not surprising that then they launched a shower head, because that's all about how the water is affecting your skin and your hair. So I started testing it 2 months ago and I love it. If you're listening and you have been thinking about getting a shower head or a shower filter, and you're like, oh, what's the difference between the Joli and this one? Because you guys already know that I love the Joli. I feel like the results are exactly the same. Like, they both do the exact same thing. So it's really a matter of what they look like. And they also look like extremely similar. But the one thing that I will say that's making me kind of lean toward Team Canopy, which is this new one I've been trying, is that they have three different...
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They have three different water settings, which I feel like I've never had a shower at home that you can, like, change the settings on. I think as growing up, maybe I did at home, but it feels like such a luxury to be able to just, like, switch between them. And the water pressure is really great. But, like, the biggest thing about it is the same thing as the Joli, that I noticed, like, a really big difference in my hair and my skin. I always let it, the only thing that's, like, super annoying is you have to change the filter at least every 3 months. And I always let it go too long. And then I can always, like, start to tell, like, my skin was starting to look a little more red and my hair was feeling, like, a little bit dull. So I just switched it and now I'm loving it. So I'm going to link that in the show notes because I feel like it's one of the best things that I've done for my hair and my skin. And I really want everybody to try it.
Every time you talk about it, I still, like, I'm definitely not installing it myself. I just don't think I am. So Dan is still, it's been on his to-do list. So I'll be traveling for work this week. So I think that's a perfect activity for Dan to do.
John did Joli, and I do feel like I needed him to do it, but the Canopy was, maybe it's because I had already had the Joli on, so I just had to unscrew it and screw this one on, like, was so easy for me. It took less than 5 minutes, but yeah, I would give that as a Dan task, and then you can report back to see how you like it.
I will. I don't have too many new things I'm trying. I've just been traveling so much. I don't even remember if we talked about my trips,
but I went
to France, which was amazing. It was honestly better than my honeymoon. We were there for Dan's brother's wedding. They got married at the chateau where Joe Jonas and Sophie Turner got married, hopefully not a bad omen as they're going through a divorce, but it was truly the best. I don't think I can go to another wedding after this. It's just, I've reached the top of supreme, perfect, luxurious, amazing weddings. And now I'm done. But it was so fun. We went to Saint-Tropez and we went to Paris. And then we were in Provence for the wedding. And it was just the best. I, like, have such a travel itch now. It was, like, the best time ever. I just loved being in Europe. And now I just want to travel everywhere.
It looked amazing. I feel like you have to, because I was following along on your personal Instagram, you have to share a few photos to Mostly Balanced. First of all, the whole trip looked amazing, but the wedding looked incredible where they got married. I didn't realize that was the same place that Joe Jonas got married, but it looked amazing. Like, it was just total wedding goals. I was like, I need to get married here.
It was better than my own wedding. I loved every second of it, but the trip was great. So yes, I will share some. I'd never been to Saint-Tropez before. I'd only been to Paris, and I had, like, way different expectations, I think. I thought it was going to be more like party vibes at the beach clubs, but it wasn't. It was very relaxing, lived up to all of the hype, but in a different way that surprised me. I've just fell in love with it. And Paris, I'd only been once when I studied abroad in college. So a much different experience going back with Dan, and his mom and brother were with us. So we just had a great time. And then the wedding. So I will share some recommendations. Not that I'm an expert. I've only been once to Saint-Tropez, but I really think I had the best trip.
Yeah, it looked amazing. And since you've been back, have you been doing Salt Drop?
I have. So I didn't work out once when I was away. I'm getting back into my Salt Drop routine. I did start, I feel like I saw this, like, viral, like, everyone was everyone was doing this walking treadmill routine of incline at 12, like the 12, 3:30. Yeah. So I did that yesterday, but I did 10, 3.5, 30.
It's a good adjustment.
Good adjustment. 12 just seems so steep.
Yeah, 12 is insane. I actually pulled out my walking pad yesterday. I hadn't used it so long because I had been marathon training. So it just like didn't feel like, I already feel like living in the city, you walk around so much. And then on top of that, I was marathon training that when I was at home, I couldn't think about getting up and just walking on my walking pad. I like using it for days when it's either like rainy, cold, or I just feel like I have like a lot to do at my desk, but I want to still get movement in. But yesterday I actually took it out and walked on it while I was watching Gilmore Girls.
I love that.
It was amazing. I actually like, I'll link that to you because that's another product that I love. I was like thinking, I was like, there's like a few things that I really am like so happy that I've purchased that are like a bigger purchase. You can get them on Amazon for like less than $200, which is not terrible, but it's obviously a little bit more than like maybe you spend on just like a random purchase on a whim. But it's totally worth it. So I love that. And for workouts, I actually have been like really switching it up since the marathon. I've been doing some Leah Bartha. I've been doing some Sonia Hare strength training classes, but I also have been getting back into Oro. And this morning I did a sweat with Sav class and it was amazing.
I love Oro. I do like a few Oro classes a week.
Yeah, they're really
like
fun.
Karen Medina is always my favorite.
I still haven't tried her, but I think I'm going to try to get into more of their classes.
SLR Life or something. SLR, Sophia Louise Rector. She's great.
And it's on Oro?
Yeah.
Okay, I have to look. They honestly have so much on there. Like, it's definitely a huge plug for Oro. And it's only $19 a month. And they do like sales. I actually feel like they always do one around Black Friday.
Probably.
So I feel like that's like a good, if you're listening, you might want to wait for that. But it's like one of those things that like I forget to cancel because it's not so much. I wish that I didn't like just keep paying for it when I wasn't using it for the past like 6 months, but now I'm excited to get back into using it because there's a lot there. And then one more thing before we get into our listener questions, I have like a personal thing that I was already texting you about that I just felt like I needed to talk about because I feel like I'm so bad at saying no to plans. I texted you about this the other day.
Oh, yes.
I struggle because I think I'm like actually pretty good in general at like not going to things if I don't want to, if it's like an event or like a group happy hour or like a work thing and I like an optional work thing, obviously. And I am feeling like I'm too busy or I just like want to have a night at home. Or even like if Sean wants to like go out to dinner, I'm like perfectly fine just saying like, no, I'd rather stay home.
Right.
But I have like this thing where that I feel like I can't just, if somebody asks me, hey, do you want to do dinner tomorrow night? I can't just be like, no, like you have to have a reason. Do you feel like you always have to have a reason?
Oh, yes. Always. You know, with certain people, like obviously with Dan or like with you, I feel like I would be comfortable saying like, I'm just so tired. Let's pick another day. But I have friends like that as well. And it's hard because you know, like, I don't want to is a good enough answer. But sometimes like I saw a friend, a childhood friend who last night, who's one of my best friends forever. And she lives in New Jersey and I don't see her as much. Like we can pick up right where we left off. But I do always have to align, or I try to align it with like, if I'm going to see my sister, I try to see her, which I did. But as I just said, I've been traveling so much. I'm traveling again tomorrow. Yesterday, I really didn't want to do anything. I went to see the Taylor Swift movie with my nieces and then I had dinner with her. And I, so much about the day, I was just like, I would love to just like get home and have a lot, like a night to do nothing. Mm-hmm. But I also really need, I want to see my friend. I really do. But I feel like because it's so planned, I wouldn't have been able to say, like, oh, I'm so tired. I would have to reschedule. I would have to pick another day. So, and of course I did it and it felt great. And I'm so happy I saw her, but I totally relate to that feeling of you just need to have, you need to have an actual reason or you need to like reschedule.
Yeah. And it's really frustrating. I was like talking to my mom about it yesterday and that's basically the exact same thing that I said. It's certain people, like if it was you or if it was like my sister or like something, like I could easily just be like, actually, I'm like really just don't want to do anything. And that's like that's like a complete sentence of like, no, but for some reason, so I had this happen with like a friend and I was like, I tasked myself with not making up an excuse because it's also so easy to make up an excuse. Like you can do it. It's very easy. Not like an elaborate lie, but you can easily have like a reason. I guess it's just like really hard to just, because I feel like I would be offended if somebody was like, no, I don't really want to. I actually don't think I would be. I feel, right. I don't know.
I am the type, my coworker and I were saying, we're like such moan and groaners, like everything. We like just like say we don't want to do anything. We talk about how we don't want to do it. And then when we go, we have a great time. Mm-hmm. So that's why anyone who hears me say, like, I don't want to do it, I don't want to do it, or I'm not like, it's nothing personal. It's just, I like time at home. I'm not the type of person that's so extroverted that wants plans all the time, mm-hmm. that gets like energized with a full schedule. Like, I know people who look at a calendar and like see all these plans and all like, oh my God, a plan on Monday night. So exciting. Makes Monday fun. I am not like that. I would be so thrilled to see an empty calendar. That's just my personality. Mm-hmm. And of course, I will complain about going and the plans that I do keep, but I'll have a great time. But I also do need to like find a fine line of maintaining my alone time mm-hmm. or my home time, because that's the time that energizes me and fuels me and makes me like ready for a work day, being productive, plans I actually want to go to, or, you know, like a nice balance.
Yeah, I totally agree. I feel like you're like the, remember you always used to be like, it's actually so fun. That would be like your famous line. You would text
It's actually so fun.
And that's usually how I feel too. Like, it does end up being so fun.
But the reason I brought that up is like, if someone said to me, if I had a plan and someone said, I actually just don't want to go, I want to stay home, that would be music to my ears. Like, I would be happy to hear someone else just be honest and have the same feelings I do, because I've probably been saying the same thing leading up to this plan for days, and I just feel like I have to go to it.
Everyone loves a canceled plan, but I also do love once if I like talk myself into doing something and then I feel like, oh, that was actually so fun. But yeah, I guess it's just like it just depends on, I guess, the friend that you're making plans with. Sometimes I feel like maybe it would, I'm not like suggesting people lie, but I feel like sometimes it is like a little easier to just be like, oh, I have something. Like, if you just like have to like make something up. Anyway, okay, we do have a few questions to get into. So I guess we can just, I say get right into it, but it's been a little bit of a longer intro. Mm-hmm. But yes, we can get into it. Okay, I liked this question a lot. How do you find the drive to get out and date when you're having more fun being single?
I love this question, and I feel like it's such a different mentality than most people who write in with dating struggles. Mm-hmm. It's the opposite. So I love to hear that someone is really enjoying their single life. I think there's a way to kind of combine the two things. I think going out, continuing to do the things you love with your friends and the things you love about being single, whether it's like having a hobby or interest that you just dedicate a lot of time into, or going out on a Friday night with a big group of your friends. I think those are great opportunities to then meet someone who will, it'll feel like they just seamlessly fit into the life you love already, because you'll have shared interests, or you say you love running and you're on like a running club, like maybe you meet someone there and then your relationship is just like fitting in so nicely to the life you love because they like the same things. Or going out with your friends and you meet up with them and all of their friends, and now you have a big group of people you can go out and do like the social activities you like. So I would just focus on the things that you love to do, but be more open to meeting someone and putting yourself out there a little more in those settings.
Yes, 100%. I think this is the best mindset to be in. I think it's a much healthier mindset to be in than dying to find somebody to date and feeling like you won't be happy until you find that, which I've been in both of these mindsets. Like, I feel like I have been in like the, oh my God, I need to meet someone right now, I'm never going to, and like, life is going to be so much better, everything's going to be solved once I have a boyfriend. Like, I feel like I had times maybe like in my 20s or whenever it was that like I had little spurts of feeling that way. But I've also had like a, oh my God, my life is so much fun. But in the back of my head, I know I do want to meet someone, but like, how do I do that when I'm already having like such a fun time? Like, is it going to interrupt my like single things that I like to do or whatever it is? So I've definitely been in both places. But that was my first reaction to this question, is that this person's probably going to meet someone so soon, because when you're just like out and about enjoying your life and doing the things that you like to do, that's when you're going to be more, first of all, you're going to be like more approachable because you're just kind of like enjoying your life, and people that are like that are going to attract other people like to them. But also you're probably going to places where there are, like Mia said, like other people where you might be able to meet somebody. You don't have to, I do think that you should, like, that people for the most part should be on a dating app just because it's a great way to meet someone, but you don't have to be like obsessively swiping every single night or feeling like you have to schedule a certain number of dates or feeling like it's like a miss if you don't go on a date 1 week or whatever it is. This is the time to, like you said, have fun being single, but also be open to meeting people wherever you go. Yeah. So it's kind of like the same mindset I think everybody should have with dating, but better, because you're not putting pressure on yourself. You're just knowing that you're open to meeting somebody, as long as you are. Like, I'm just assuming this person is, if they're asking the question, right, they want to meet someone. They just don't know how to find like the motivation to actually put like work into it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say too, because I do think there is a little bit of a mindset shift if the person really does want a relationship, but also doesn't want to change much about their life. They do have to be open to it, because I think you could be so stuck in your ways. And like I said about those people who love to fill their calendar and kind of like make themselves closed off to just spontaneity or new relationships, or just be so stuck in, not stuck, but be so independent and really enjoying independence that you kind of just, whether it's just some subconsciously something you think that you're okay being alone and you love being alone. We talk about this sometimes, of just being open to the idea of welcoming another person in and making small little changes. And I think about how your thoughts play out in your own head. I know Kelly Knight brought this up once, where she had a friend who was in this exact same position, but very much saying like, I don't need a man, and very much like in love with her independence. And it kind of worked against her when she wanted to find a relationship. So pay attention to like how you actually think about approaching situations and not being too closed off and always being open. I think finding people that you can see living their life fully, but still able to have a relationship that even adds to their life even more. So that would probably help you get more excited and put in a little work. And I agree with the dating app. We also say you wouldn't be hoping for a job without updating your resume or applying to jobs or being on LinkedIn. Like, if you're looking for a relationship, there are little things like having a dating app profile, even if you don't get obsessed with it, to make sure that you're at least putting out the right energy and putting in a little work.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think that I like that you brought up about Kelly Knight. And I've talked about this before. Before I met Sean, I really did like make an effort to like make space, like as like Kelly Knight would probably say, for somebody else in my life, because I was in a similar position where I felt really happy, but I knew I wanted to meet somebody. So I did like certain things that I shifted my mindset, like Mia's saying, to not always be thinking about what I was going to do or what was going to be good for me. I would like think about what life would be like if I was with somebody else and like how they would fit into certain situations. And I wouldn't constantly be thinking about it, because I think that is kind of skirting toward just being obsessed with meeting somebody. But there would be random times where I would think, even if I was like solo traveling, I would think how this trip would be if I did have somebody else with me, and like how that would be great in a different way. And just thinking about sleeping not in like the middle of your bed, sleeping so there would be like room for somebody next to you. That's like more on like the woo-woo side, but little things like that. So I do feel like a huge reason why I did meet Sean, and like at that time I was going on like a regular dates, like there were more sort of like opportunities coming in because I was putting that energy out there. But then I did have, when Sean and I first started dating and it seemed like it was going to start really turning into something, I did definitely have like some panics of like but I was like so happy doing my own thing. And like, it's hard to like fit somebody else into that equation. So I think that then that did, again, take like an active understanding of like, the person that I want to be dating is somebody that's just going to complement like the life that like I already love, but they're also going to like make parts about it better too. So it's kind of like a balance of that. And that was like something I had to constantly sort of like tell myself for a little while. But now, like, I mean, he's like away right now. And I was like, sitting yesterday, like, wait, what did I do before he was here? Like, what were all the things that I was like really worried I wasn't going to be able to do anymore? Because he does fit like so seamlessly into things. And there are things that like I find like so much better because he's there, but there also are the things that I still like love to do myself. So I think it's just knowing and understanding that like the right relationship will make you still love your life just as much as you did when you were single, and maybe even more in some ways.
Yeah. Well,
definitely more.
I have a question, because I feel this question was you. I remember you texting me or talking to me and saying you want a relationship, but you also don't, because what about solo travel? What about like, you loved your life, and now that you've been with Sean, do you, I guess you kind of just answered this, but specifically travel, is there something that you like thought was a relationship was going to hold you back from, and now you realize not really, or it's better with someone?
Yeah, I think both of those things. Like, I have gone on a couple of solo trips when I was with him, and I was like really happy to be able to still do that. But I also have gone on a bunch of trips with him and I feel like I have even more fun. I think I'll still always love solo travel, but it probably won't be like as much of a thing that I want to do like all the time. It's more of like a, if I have like a weekend trip somewhere by myself, that's really fun. And I love knowing that like I can do that and feel like confident doing that. And I love like the memories I have of doing longer trips by myself. But I think I'd rather be doing now, I'd rather be doing that with him. And I like don't actually think that I believed that I would meet somebody that I like really right. actually felt that way with. So it's like really cool to see that. And that could be anything. It doesn't have to be travel. It could be like, because also you should still keep going out with your friends or doing whatever the single things that you do. Like you shouldn't be like going out meeting guys if you have a boyfriend, but like you should still maintain that part of your life. And I think that's also why it's such a healthy mindset to go into dating with, because you'll kind of hold yourself more accountable to maintaining that sense of self and like your friendships and whatever the other things you're doing right now right. are, because you'll know those things make you so happy. So if you're listening to this and you're in a long-term relationship and you feel like, oh wow, like I don't, maybe you're thinking of something you used to do when you were single that like you don't do as much anymore. Like for me, actually right now it's reading. Like I feel like that's one thing that has like fallen by the wayside. Right. And so like, maybe this is a reminder that like, oh, there were things you like loved about your life before you were with the person you're with now or whatever it is that you wish you could do more of. And that's always like a good thing to do because that's important to maintain those things with yourself too.
I agree. Well, I'm excited for this person. I agree. I think they're going to meet someone very soon. I like this question. It's not really relatable to me, but I'm sure others. She says, long distance relationship X said he's moving to my city in 4 months. He wants to date me then and not start now. Question mark, question mark. I feel like her question she's asking is not the question I want to focus on.
Yeah, like why does she want to date her ex is the thing that yeah. I don't know.
I need more information. Okay, so her long distance relationship ex-boyfriend, I guess he's finally, maybe the reason they broke up is because it wasn't working long distance, but I'm adding mm-hmm. that context. Now he's moving to her city, but he doesn't want to actually start dating until he gets here. So it sounds like they're kind of like skirting around conversations and talking and maybe like getting back into the relationship mode, but he doesn't want to make anything official or do anything until he gets here. And she's asking, I think she wants like advice on that part, but I want to focus on why are you getting back with your ex-boyfriend unless the only reason was long distance and now that's going to be solved.
Yeah, it's so hard for me because not wanting to date someone, not wanting to be in a long distance relationship is like a perfectly reasonable reason to not date somebody. But for some reason, part of me still thinks that if that happened with somebody, it didn't work out because it was distance, then it's just not going to work out with them to begin with. Like, I think if you guys had decided you were going to try distance and then it didn't work out, that to me is just like any ex. It probably didn't work out for a reason and you shouldn't date them. Like, I think right. it's kind of, there's more to it than like the cut and dry. Oh, but it was distance and now it's not. Especially if he's being so particular about, oh, I'm going to be moving there, but I don't want to date you until then. It just seems like very strange that he's somebody who's like so unwilling to do a few months of distance. I don't think is somebody that I would feel confident going into a relationship with, because you never know what might happen. Like, what if one of you has to leave for a few months again? Are they not going to ever be able to date you when there's like an irregular circumstance happening? So
right.
I think because there is like a light at the end of the distance tunnel, then he should be willing to just date you right. knowing that. That part of it makes me really uneasy about it.
I agree. And we say this a lot. Neither of us really agree with right person, wrong time. And I think you could say this relationship could fall in that category because maybe it was the right person, but wrong timing because it didn't work. It was distant. I think if someone is the right person and you really are putting in it, you want it to make it work. You can't imagine a life without this person. This person makes you happy. You love talking to them. You love seeing them. You're imagining a life with them. You want to make it work. I don't think distance is a stopper to that. And we know so many successful relationships that started out with distance. And even if it was 1 year down the road, 2 years down the road, they knew there was an end in sight for the distance. That's why some of these other behaviors that are coming up, that suddenly he is moving to the city and there's a light at the end of a distance tunnel, but he can't make it work until he gets here. I agree with you. Those are like indicators about his level of commitment that I'm not sure I would put all my eggs in that basket.
Yeah. And it's also an indicator that this has been kind of like strung along for too long. Like the fact, I don't know how long ago this couple broke up, but the fact that like they're still in communication enough for him to be like telling her, oh, I'm moving back. Like, and we should date then. Like, it just kind of, it gives me like flashbacks to distance situations that I've had that we stopped talking because the person didn't want to do distance. I mean, I say stop talking, but like stop dating because the person didn't want to do distance, but then we like stayed talking and it just kind of keeps like this strange communication. You feel like that's the reason you're not together. And you kind of cling on to that being the reason. I think that you're doing the relationship. If you have like a part of you that does want to date this person, which obviously this person does, you're kind of like doing it a disservice by like stringing things along like this. I think the best thing you can possibly do is kind of be like, okay, like let's connect when you get here then, and just like cut it off there. And you never know what might happen when they come here. Right. Like, sure, maybe it will really work out. But I think now you're kind of building this strange like in between. It's like situationship time,
right?
That is going to like make things more confusing. It's going to make you feel like you've been in a relationship with this person for longer than you actually have. And it kind of just muddies the waters. So I think right now you tell them like, listen, I get that you don't want to do distance. I'm definitely like, I'm open to connecting when you get here, but I think we should like take a pause on talking for now and maybe connect when you get here.
See like, how things are when you get here.
Yeah.
And I would still continue to be open to other people in that time. 4 months in this situation is very long. Mm-hmm. If it 1 month, doable. 4 months is one third of a year. Yeah, so I think that a lot can happen. And I would hate for if she's waiting for him to get here in 4 months and kind of puts all her other dating life on hold and allows this situationship to go on. I just don't know if it would lead to disappointment. So
yeah,
I love that piece of advice. Just say, let's see how things are. Like when you get here, don't talk as much. And then evaluate your life in 4 months from now and see how things are when he gets to your city, and you can see if you're both open to, this is not a contract right. that he's saying right now yeah. that you're signing. Like in 4 months, I'm going to date you. So I think a lot can change.
Yeah. And you don't necessarily have to say like, I don't want to talk to you until you come here. That can just be something you actively do on your own, kind of like peel back and don't communicate with them as much. Tell them like, yeah, I'm open to connecting when you get here. Like, let me know once you're settled in or whatever that is. But then live your life and don't wait for this, because the way this guy seems to be handling things, I wouldn't be surprised if then he moves here and he's like, I just moved to a new city and like, I want to, you know what I mean? Like, I just feel like there's not, like you said, it's not a contract. So I wouldn't bank on the fact that he's going to move here and then you're going to like go all in on this relationship.
Yeah.
So I think tread lightly and live your life in the meantime.
Yes. Do you want to read the long one?
Yes. All right. So we got a message this week to our DMs. She says, great episode. I'm a first-time listener and I have a question to put forward for your next episode. My boyfriend and I have been dating for almost 1 year now. We live together and we are in a very happy place. I want to approach a conversation about marriage, but he's been divorced and had a very bad experience with that. I want to let him know that I'm willing to get married, but I don't want to scare him if he still has some hangups. We once joked about getting married when he was really drunk, and there seemed to be a very positive resonance there. But how do I approach the sober conversation?
I love this question. I basically lived this experience.
Oh, that's true. You did. Did you guys ever talk about it drunk and then?
Yeah. I mean, which I don't know if I recommend because it could go awry.
Yeah, but
I can relate to that because I think I did bring up a lot of things like just like funny or like very light comments when drinking. But, and you'll probably remember this from my relationship. So Dan was married and divorced basically within a year and a half. And we had known each other, we'd been friends, and we started dating. And I wanted to know, of course, if he was willing to get married again. And I think early on, if I did make like a drunken comment, or he was able to tell me in the beginning, like, yes, eventually, but it seemed like so far down the road. And it was a topic I think kind of did scare him when I brought up, because it was just so new and so much emotion or attached or all of these feelings. So I did tread lightly with a lot of the conversations about commitment, but I think I think he will owe it to you if you're in a relationship and you've been dating for almost a year, you live together. I don't think you have to worry about scaring him. Just saying like, look, I love our relationship. I'm having such a great time with you. There's no pressure on when or whenever you're ready, but I would like to know you at least want that we're on the same page and want the same thing. So do you see yourself getting married again? Do you see yourself having kids? Those are conversations I think any couple who's been dating for a year should be having. I can totally relate to not wanting to scare him or freak him out by things happening too quickly. But I think it's a very fair conversation to have and a way to bring it up that's like very just calm and look, this is just a smart conversation for us to have before moving forward.
Yeah, especially if you're living together. I think you should have talked about it before you lived together, but obviously that doesn't happen. Like not everything happens in the order that like in the optimal order. And I think that, but I do think that because you guys live together and because you had, even like if it was a brief conversation while you were drinking, this isn't going to be a surprising thing that you're bringing up to him a year in any relationship. And then you add in those other factors, especially a guy that's been married before. Like he knows like the order of in which things tend to happen. So I think like everything Mia was saying about the conversation to have, it can sound like eek, like I'm afraid to say that, especially sober. But I think once you start talking about it, especially if he was open to it when you did have that brief conversation, he's going to be open to the conversation. I wouldn't go into it with an expectation that he's going to be like, yes, I'd like to get married and or engaged in 6 months and like have like really thought this whole thing through.
Right.
But I think that's how you approach it then. You approach it in like, I've been thinking about this. Here's what I'm hoping and here's where I see our relationship going. And I just wanted to put it out there so that if you're not already, you could start thinking about the things that you want and we can like continue to have conversations. I think that's like a perfectly fine way to frame it because he might not be ready to give all the, have this whole like timeline discussion.
Right.
And I think that he'll really appreciate the fact that you're putting it out there to put it in his mind versus like asking him what he wants and what he sees because he might need a little time to think more about it.
Yes. And if he's anything like Dan, he might say, yes, I want to, but I can't imagine like not for 5 years.
Yeah. Oh my God. Everything was 5 years.
Everything was 5 years. And this was not the question she asked, but for anyone who is in a similar experience or even for this woman who wrote in, I always worried that because he already got married, he already bought an engagement ring. Is he going to do that again? That's a financial expense. Is this going to be 10 years of dating before he feels ready to do all these things again? Is it going to feel different for me knowing that he already has proposed to someone, had an engagement, had a marriage? It didn't. I felt like I was going through this experience with him for the first time and he was going through it with me for the first time. And maybe in the beginning when it was still so new and fresh and I could tell he was a little like scared about how the timeline of when can I do this all again? And when personally for him feeling like he can do all of these steps again and have a relationship of this severity again. But also I think he was concerned about how other people would look into the relationship and be like, is this enough time that has passed for other people to agree that this is like or the right relationship for me to like or I can like do all these things again. So it ended up like, I think a lot of people just have all these anxieties and anticipation, but then when you're actually in it, it will feel so much different. And I think things happened much quicker than he expected and it just felt normal and right. And then the whole process was great. I never had any like feelings like that.
And it wasn't 5 years, just to put that out there. It was just something you would say. I'm curious what you would say about this, because I can't decide if when this person or anybody who might relate approaches this conversation, if they should frame it in like a, I know you've been married before, or if they should kind of just like not even mention that part. Like, do you think the person would want to know that they understand this is like a little different for them? Or do you think it's better to just kind of like treat it as if it's any other person you're dating?
I think Dan appreciated when I acknowledged it. And if I didn't, like if there was one time where I didn't acknowledge it, he would remind me. So I think that's what I was wondering
if they'd be like, yes. I've been married before.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know that the timing is going to be like a little bit different because X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. I just think in any answer we ever give, the more communication, the better. So I think the more you can acknowledge that you understand the position that your partner's in and you understand the nuance and you aren't putting pressure on them and you're here for the ride no matter what. Like, it's not about the timeline. It's not about the ring and it's about the relationship. I think that's also whenever you have those conversations, I'd put that piece forward and focus more on like the relationship and wanting this with you and wanting to build a future together. Like focusing on all those things rather than like, when are we getting married? When do you see us getting engaged? When are you proposing? Like none of those questions with pressure and focusing on the wrong things. But I do think anytime I could verbalize and just say I understand where the position he's in, he appreciated.
Yeah, because this person didn't mention this aspect, but I do imagine it would be like a conversation for people to have of like, a, once you do cross the bridge of them confirming they do want to get married and you guys want the same things overall, I'm sure it's going to be more of a conversation of like, a, maybe they had a big wedding. Like, do they want to have a big wedding again? Like, those are all details that I feel like can be left out right. of like the first conversation, especially because this person doesn't seem like that's like a huge thing that they're like, that's top of their mind. But eventually that is going to be part of it as well as like a, how you actually envision the wedding itself or even like the engagement or like things like that, that maybe like you do want to talk about. And I do agree. I think that like through all those conversations, definitely make it clear that you understand that they have a history that's different than yours. And they might then have like a different mindset of what they envision. But the important thing is that you both want to be together long term, you both want to get married. And as long as you can kind of get that out of this initial conversation, I think you'll start to put less weight on the fact that he's been married before. Like you said, like that's not something you ever even probably think about really as much.
No, like, I don't.
Yeah. But it's normal now to think about it, especially if you've never dated someone who has been divorced before. It might seem like a bigger thing to you. But like, I know a number of people who have been divorced who are now in other relationships, and I like forget that they were married before. Like, I just feel like it's kind of like a a bigger thing at first when it's something that's new to you.
Right.
Oh, we got one quick question that was about another about long distance relationships, about what are some good activities for conversation, which I thought was such a fun question. And we're not going to like go deep into it, but we do just have like a couple of favorite things that we thought would be a good suggestion here. And we hadn't talked about them in a little while. So if you have been listening for a while, we always used to use this conversation deck called Actually Curious. We've actually had the founder of it, Michael Tennant, on our podcast. He also recently published a book, which we can link in the notes as well. I haven't read it yet. I also have one for you because he sent me two, one for both of us.
Oh, I love that.
But so the deck is called Actually Curious. He has a number of different decks that like are kind of different themes. There's a happy hour one, and there's like a culture edition. There's just like a lot of, like I said, different topics, but we love that because it starts conversations with like anybody. And I think it would be really fun for a distance relationship. And a similar, in a similar vein, but kind of more, well, is Esther Perel's more focused toward relationships that is meant for couples, right?
I think so. I mean, it's for like strengthening relationships. So it could be couples or friends. They're deeper. I would say they're deeper questions, but they're also in Esther Perel's, which we have three conversation decks to recommend. Actually Curious, Esther Perel's Where Should We Begin? And then Natasha Miller, who we had. She's the founder of Wanderlust, an intimacy card game. But Esther Perel's, I don't know if you remember this, but there is a whole pack of intimacy questions. We just never used those on the podcast because
it was just us answering that.
It was just us. But I love the Esther Perel deck. I think it's a little more serious, like Actually Curious. They're more playful. There's like obviously the different kinds of decks. So you can talk about like your favorite childhood TV show and why. Esther Perel's are a bit deeper. Like, what's your biggest fear, or what's something you've never told anyone in the past? And then the intimacy ones are good. And that also Natasha, those are fun ones, I think, for a long distance relationship, the Wanderlust deck and any intimacy card game. I imagine in a long distance relationship, it's really hard to keep up intimacy when you're far away. So those are fun ideas.
Yeah, honestly, get all three. I feel like it could be so fun. Obviously, you guys have conversations where you don't need decks. But if you had all three and it became kind of like something you guys did like once in a while, or from time to time, and you could pick like, oh, do we want to do something lighthearted? Do we want to do the Wanderlust intimacy? Do we want to do Esther Perel? Have like deeper conversations? It could just become like a fun thing that you guys do. I think that that's so important in distance relationships. I think that it doesn't say anything bad about the relationship if you want to use like a little bit of support to bring up those deeper conversations, even if it's not distance. It's a great way to just like approach conversations that might seem like you might be nervous to approach, or that like you haven't even thought about before. So it really expands your mind, and it definitely expands your relationship. It reminds me of like the questions that lead to love, or 36 questions, whatever that was. Like, I feel like it's very similar. You might not think to ask these things, and it really can take you down an interesting conversation.
I imagine it's really hard in a long distance relationship to have these conversations and like have different conversations and deeper conversations and get to know each other. I think someone asked about getting to know someone on a deeper level on dating, and that's when we recommended going on different types of dates, like go see a museum together, a comedy club, go do something actually different So you have different surroundings and it might spark different conversations. So if you're not even in the same place and you're just having like these phone calls, which I imagine can get a little boring, you're just in your mundane everyday life talking about how was your day? What'd you do today? What are you doing this weekend? Like it can get so boring and you don't have that stimulation around you to really inspire new conversation. So I love the idea of the card game. Or even like watching, like picking a show that you're going to watch like together but separately, or read a book you're going to read together but separately. Anything that's like going to help you have something more to talk about, I think is fun, a fun activity, and will spark some conversation.
Yeah. Wait, I love that. It's so funny. Now I'm trying to think of like what sparks the most conversation between me and Sean. And it's definitely watching TV shows and then like doing different things. Like even when we travel, I feel like we're obviously having conversations that we wouldn't usually have because we're doing different things. And now like when at times when like I'm away or he's away and we talk on the phone, I do sometimes feel like, not like, oh, what do I have to say to this person? But like, I wish there was like some, I don't know, something to like spark more of like a deeper conversation, especially if you're away from each other for longer. So yeah, I think these could be a really great way. We'll link all of them. We have a lot to link in the show notes today. So hopefully you try it out. Let us know if you do and which deck you like the best, because we have all of them and we're a fan of all three. So they're each a great choice.
Yes. Well, thanks for listening. Continue sending in your questions. Send emails or long DMs. Our email is hello@wearemostlybalanced.com. And then Mostly Balanced Podcast, you can see our Instagram, all our resources, and DM us longer questions or just drop a short one in a question box when we have it up on usually Thursdays.
Yes. Thank you for listening.